Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and our guest today, I just got a call. She's not going to be able to make the show, so this is going to be an open mic hour. So if you'd like to call and chat with me at any time during this hour, you're going to be able to do so. So do give me a call if you so desire at 888-627-6008 if you're a first-time listener. All this means is you just give me a buzz. I take your first name or initial, and then after that, you are welcome to ask me about anything that you are interested in having information on. So again, 888-627-6008. This is an open mic hour. I just was thinking, as I was finishing up putting up my Christmas decorations, I just thought, and this was yesterday, I thought, you know what? So many times with the holiday season, we just are buzz. And last night, I was in a store, and of course, every store has all of these phenomenal decorations. When I look at the variety and the colors and everything else, it's just really a feast for the eyes, as far as I'm concerned. And I was in a section of this very, very large store, and as I was going down the aisle, I heard a young lady say to someone who was with her, oh my goodness, we have so many selections. Why don't we just have one item instead of many? And I listened to that, and I could recall someone saying that who had come from Estonia. Now, this is a woman, and this was said 20 years ago. And I'm listening to a young American woman making this statement as she's standing in an aisle looking at a massive selection of items. But 20 years ago, someone made that comment to me, and I was stunned. This person, though, had come from a communist-occupied country, Estonia. They didn't have selection. They were lucky if they had one of anything. Food was very difficult to come by. Clothing, mechanical items, dentistry supplies, medical supplies. It was very, very, very difficult. And I remember this lady saying about 20 years ago, she said, I go to shop for shampoo, too many shampoos. There should only be one. Now, I don't think this lady from Estonia realized what she was saying. She had lived in the United States for a number of years. But in her mind, it was like so many choices. When I heard this young lady last night, I reflected on that. And I thought so many times people do not, if it's not been in their experience, they don't realize how valuable it is, one, to have choice, to be able to choose. If you were living during the times of Mao, you didn't have a choice about a job or anything like that. You were told what you were going to do. In many parts of the world, it's still the same way. So I reflected on that, and I thought, oh, my goodness. How many times do we set limitations to ourselves, and how many times do we have attitudes about things that we never examine? We just proclaim them, maybe because someone has said this is the way it's got to be done. Maybe we've watched too many television commercials. But we don't take the time to think. And there was an article that I came across, and I thought I would share it with you this morning. And it's just a different perspective. It's a different twist on things, which I feel should make us sometimes stop and examine what our attitudes are and why we've got them. there was a person in the film industry who was sharing a personal experience that they had, and it was the dating game. And this young man said he had had a date with a lovely woman who wanted to walk along the beach. Beautiful summer evening, romantic, just wonderful, and she wanted to take her shoes off and walk on the beach. Now, this is what happened with him. He said, I'm wearing a $1,200 suit, a $75 tie, a $150 shirt, and two shoes that cost me $100 for the pair. He said, it cost me $15 to clean my suit and $6 to have my shirt hand washed. Said, I didn't even want to think about what it would cost if I should get a drop of spaghetti sauce on my tie. And this woman wants me to roll up my pants and walk along the beach? All I can think about is how much it's going to cost me if she wants me to sit down on the sand. He said, here's the bottom line I ask myself. Can I afford to wear my own clothes? Now, if you're chuckling with this, I can't blame you. So many of us would say, well, the heck with it. If you're with somebody that you really like, where's your focus? Are you focusing more on something that can be cleaned and, you know, put into order? Or are you focusing on the person that you're with? There was another individual, this person was a lawyer, and this attorney said, I don't think I'm trapped on this treadmill forever, but I'm certainly on it right now. It's an old merry-go-round of how much money is enough money, and it's never enough. 3 years ago, I thought just a little more. Now I make twice as much money, and it's still not enough. All of us have things that we get stuck with. And I think one of the joys of life is to be able to realize that we can get unstuck. Clothes are just clothes. Money, well, it is something we need. But when you're just focused on the money and not the quality of life, then you're going to find yourself feeling very, very empty and wondering why you're not satisfied with things. If you get concerned because you really don't want to make decisions, like the young lady in the store. Too many choices. Don't want to have, I want someone else to just have one item that I can choose. We need to reexamine our attitudes many times. We need to look at what is it that we are focusing on? What is the precedent? What is the determination? All of this will work out. All of it will work out. And I am just really, I am so grateful for these little experiences that when you're awake and you pay attention to them, you find that there's so much around you that makes you aware of what you really need to pay attention to. And so many times I think we burden ourselves with a lot more than we need to. I know I've been guilty of it. Is there ever enough money? It all depends on your perspective, doesn't it? Are relationships important? How do you work with them? Do you like having choices? If not, why? Life is a wonderful experience. It's an experience that affords you so many lessons. I've yet to go through a day where I haven't learned it one way or the other. And sometimes when we get tired, we get grumpy, and we wish that things would follow a different pattern. Well, sometimes we have to deal with the cards that were dealt. But many times, the universe has a way of handing us a full deck and enabling us to create a royal flush when we're ready to work with the game of life the way it's supposed to be. Donna Sebo here. My guest today is not able to make it. We have an open mic day. I've got different points of information that I'm going to be sharing with you. Oh, and I've got that gingerbread cookie recipe. It's a Martha Stewart recipe, and it's made with fresh ginger. So you've got flavor that's just going to be bursting through the cookies. But she's got a couple of secrets that I had never heard of. So have that pad of paper handy, because I'll be sharing that with you. The paranormal has always been something that has intrigued me. And when I found that I had skills that could be used, because I became acquainted with my mentor so many years ago, I entered a world that to this day fascinates me. It intrigues me, the workings of the mind. And I am always amazed at the various ways that in the intuition, psychic phenomena demonstrates itself. And in our world today, we're much more open and conversational about this. There are so many interesting conversations that I've listened to through the years with various people, and I'm always intrigued with the stories. But I'm also intrigued with stories from the past, because it is situations and conditions of individuals from the past that have written down their stories that we are able to be in this point of flexibility today. I wanted to step back into the 1700s, because these experiences are not new. They used to be feared much more than they are today, but that's because there was a lot of misunderstanding. And as it's the same thing today, lots of times people, if they don't understand something, they're afraid of it. It has to be bad. Well, it isn't. It's just a part of life's expression. And when we can share the stories, it really makes a difference. Now, this particular event took place on the evening of July 19th, 1759. There was a party going on, and you may have heard of this gentleman's name, those of you that are well-read in the paranormal area. It is a time when a very, very famous scientist and a mystic, he was recognized throughout the world at that time, Emanuel Swedenborg. Now, he was at the home of a very special person in Gothenburg, Sweden. And there were 16 people there. Well, Emanuel Swedenborg, all of a sudden, gets up, leaves the group, and walks outside without any explanation. When he comes back in to join the guests, he's shaking. His face is very pale. When he stepped outside, he saw a fire. He saw a fire raging. And he said to the people there, "It is so serious. It has destroyed a friend's home, and it's going to destroy my home." Now, this was not something that anybody had expected to hear. Swedenborg didn't live in Gothenburg. But he lived in Stockholm. Stockholm was 300 miles away. Now, the party went on, but Swedenborg left the house many times during the party and would come back and tell the people the blaze is spreading. Finally, at 8 o'clock that evening, he announced that the blaze had been extinguished. Only three houses away from his own. So his house was not demolished. Now, you have to remember, no cell phones at this time, no faxes, no electronic medium of any kind where people would know about this instantaneously. Now, the next day, the party was on a Saturday, the next day, Sunday, his vision was the talk of this community that he was visiting. Was there really a fire? What had he seen? Now, Swedenborg at the time was 71 years old. Some people said, oh, just his imagination, he's an old man, this is what he's saying. However, the following night, there was an express messenger that came in from Stockholm giving the news of this massive, massive fire. 3 days after he had had this vision, a second messenger brought more details. The details matched everything that Swedenborg had relayed to the guests on that previous Saturday. The second messenger confirmed that it had halted only three doors from his own and had ended, just as he said, at 8 o'clock that Saturday night. Now, Swedenborg was a man that was highly respected. He was a very, very skilled engineer. He was an inventor and also an author. And he had a tremendous intellect that covered everything from psychology to zoology. He just did it all. He did it all. Now, in his late 50s, this is what happened to Swedenborg. And remember, this experience happened when he was 71. He was in his late 50s, and he had a very special paranormal experience. He called it a visitation from God. After he had that experience, he really went into the study of history, theology, metaphysics, and he decided he was going to explore his own mind. He discovered that he had phenomenal skills. Now, this historically was quite significant because his accuracy was phenomenal. Now, what happened with Swedenborg is that he was a remote viewer. That is exactly what went on with him, a remote viewer. This is so significant because here is someone who was so respected being able to demonstrate what Russell Targ did research with the CIA. Why is this important? Because it shows the powers of the mind. It shows that there are things in life that many times we cannot explain. Now, why does one person have this more than another? Well, keep in mind, Swedenborg decided to explore. He decided to study. He decided to learn. And psychic abilities are just like any other skill, whether it's with music, engineering, cooking, I don't care what it is. It's practice, practice, practice. So if this is something that you may feel that you would like to explore, well, you're going to have the opportunity, and you're so fortunate in today's world because you are able to reach out on so many levels to so many areas of not just research, but you are able to even find people who are giving classes. And all I say to you is if you want to do this, check in with those people that you feel a comfort with. If you want to do anything like energy healing, which medicine is beginning to recognize more and more, and you wanted to do something else, just look around, explore. And, of course, the Internet offers you access to a lot of people that you may not have otherwise. But remember, knowledge is only a book away. That's all. And you're the one that has to determine that you want to explore it, that you want to research it. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Lines are open. This is an open mic hour, 530-413-5011. Well, I'll tell you what. All of us, at one time or another, seem to have a problem with trimming off the pounds. Now, we all know, it's just reality, that if we consume more than we actually are going to utilize, we're going to pack on an inch or two in the thighs or in the fanny or somewhere on our bod. And, of course, none of us like to do that. Well, what happens? Well, with women, as we get older, the hormonal changes we go through, the various things that we experience, all of this is something that, well, you know, it's just one of those things. And it comes about because hormones change, our body cycles go through different things. And the truth is, even with the guys, it seems like we become more sedentary. And we have to keep in mind that we've got to keep our bodies going. We have to think about what we're putting in our face, because unlike when we're in our teenage years, when we're like the Energizer Bunny, we're just going, and we seem to burn everything up, then it doesn't take much to keep ourselves trim because we're so active. Well, that's something we have to keep in mind. And it's very important that we be aware that we're responsible for ourselves. Now, lots of times, especially with women, we just have this challenge where it seems like once those little fat cells get plumped up, they just say, I like where I am. I'm not going to move. Well, sometimes people starve themselves. I was reviewing some material where a young woman who was to be as a model, she basically had to be anorexic. I had a dear friend who told me when she was a ballerina, she said, we were weighed every single day, and publicly it was announced if we were a half a pound over or a pound over. And she said it was miserable. We didn't dare eat. Well, that's not healthy. So what is it that we need to remember? Well, all of us are different, but let's just make some choices here. However, I came across a segment of information that said you can starve your fat cells. Do you have any fat cells that need to be starved? Well, this is a panel of doctors, and they said, if you've got stubborn fat cells, here are three tips that they give you that can help you avoid consuming, basically, this is what it's all about, consuming extra calories. And of course, let's face it, this is the holiday season. There's all kinds of goodies that are going to be out there. Said a hot cup of tea 20 minutes before a meal may help you consume fewer calories. There was a German study that was done that said that Chinese white tea reduces the growth of new fat cells and breaks down fat in existing cells. Well, maybe I better try the Chinese white tea, because I drink buckets of tea. And I've always been, not always, but pretty much been a tea drinker most of my life. I haven't found my fat cells moving very much. Anyway, just need to be aware of that. Sniffing grapefruit. Now, this is interesting to me, because the Japanese and many other people have done extensive testing on smells and how it can affect people. You know, when you're in a place where there's the orange smell, and there's something very refreshing about the scent of orange. It's just wonderful, just like vanilla. Vanilla has a wonderful relaxation factor to it. Well, grapefruit, believe it or not, they found, does temporarily raise your metabolism, and it reduces your appetite. I have to check that one out. I haven't done a trial on that one. So if you get the essential oil of grapefruit and have it at your desk if you're working or in the kitchen, and you find yourself just wanting to go through the cupboard or into the refrigerator, and you know it, you just don't need anything to eat, maybe that's something that will work, the essence of grapefruit oil. And then the last one is eating eggs. I'm a big advocate of eggs, always have been. And I never did buy into all this nonsense about eggs being bad for you and causing problems with cholesterol and all that other nonsense, which now they're totally backing off from. There's nothing wrong with eggs. They are extremely healthy for you. And they said when people had two eggs for breakfast, they lost more weight, 65% more weight, than those who ate an equal-calorie bagel. It's protein. It's going to give your body something to work with. There is a 75-year-old woman that was featured in Ripley's Believe It or Not latest book. I looked at this woman, and I was stunned. And eggs are a major portion of her diet. She started in her 50s. She looks like she's in her 30s. She's just absolutely gorgeous. And eggs are a substantial part of her diet. This is something that I think a lot of people forget. We have healthy foods. But again, it's getting to the point where you understand that you have a protein-rich breakfast and have fiber with that breakfast as well. Small serving of oatmeal along with a couple of eggs, you've got a healthy meal. So it's our choices that we make with food and staying active. I don't know why people seem to think as they get older, they're supposed to become less active. Nope. You stay active physically, and you're going to find mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and obviously physically, you're going to feel a lot better. But find what works for you. If dancing's the key, then hey, go do the tango 4 or 5 times a week, and you are just absolutely going to feel marvelous. I was watching a program, and by the way, give me a call if you'd like to chat. Phone lines are open, 530-413-5011. I happened to see a commentary yesterday. I don't watch a whole bunch of television, but this just happened to come on, and my husband called it to my attention because I was discussing with him the latest information regarding brain injuries, especially with young people. And there is so much that has evolved with the game of football. And kids love it. It is a game that should be something that's enjoyed. But there is a sports writer and a fan of football. His name is Patrick Hruby. And he said he's just not that supportive of football anymore because he has seen it go away from really being a game to being something that's causing so much more harm than it should, especially with children, even with the protective garb that kids have today. And I thought I would bring this forward because I think it's something that does need to be addressed. We need to be aware of the fact that when you have these, it's heavy impact games, it's like soccer and or ice hockey, I should say. Soccer's the same, but soccer, they don't have all of this paraphernalia they wear. Ice hockey they do because they beat each other to pulps in that game, and it's highly competitive. But football, the game has changed. It's no longer a game. And there was a fellow that was saying to me, I really don't enjoy the game of football anymore because it seems like it's all about the money. It's not about the players playing the game and solving challenges. Everything's always coached from the sidelines, etc. Now, you may be a big football fan, so I'm not saying, you know, that's a bad thing. All I'm saying is that there needs to be some real thoughtfulness here. Because when you look at the old, old movies, have you ever seen any of the old John Wayne movies where the guys are playing football? They had these little leather helmets, but they were all slim. They weren't 350-pound hulks coming down the field. Every once in a while, you might get somebody that was close to 200 pounds. But they were much smaller in size, and the game was rugged then. But they're finding that the Center of Brain Health at the University of Texas in Dallas, more than 40% of former players in football, professional players and otherwise, ended up with dementia and depression. And, of course, we just had the one young man who killed himself as well as other people. And it's a tragic story. It's a tragic story. But they found in a neurology study of more than 3,000 former NFL players, they were three times more likely to die of brain-related diseases such as Alzheimer's and ALS than the general population. You know, the same thing goes for boxers. Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, phenomenal boxer, very, very, very skilled boxer. He has brain challenges and has had for a number of years. And bless his heart, he's still with us, I believe, and he's just an incredible man, wonderful human being. But that game also has caused a lot of problems for people. So these are things that we need to really pay attention to. And when it comes to the little people playing the game, we need to remember that it should be a game for the little people, and they shouldn't have to go through this stuff. So what are we going to do? I don't know. But I think it's coming to the forefront that we need to look at the game differently because it does affect people's lives in a substantial way. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. Telephone lines are open. When we come back, I'm going to be sharing with you Martha Stewart's Gingerbread Man and a story or two about different people, different situations, different conditions, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi. Speaking of the holiday season, we are shopping. Guess what? There's a study on shoppers. And this was done at the San Francisco State University. And by the way, before I go into that, if you want to give me a buzz in chat, telephone lines are open at 888-627-6008. And I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. There was a psychological study. Sometimes I wonder what people do with their time. I really, really do. But this is one on shoppers, and since this is one of the hottest, biggest shopping seasons of the year, they found people who splurged on dining, travel, and other experiences tend to be more extroverted and adventurous. Also, they have a lot of friends. They're better liked than those who spent their money on material things. Now, this study, apparently somebody else had done a similar study, so they did a comparison. And this was with some Colorado researchers who reported that materialistic consumers were thought to be shallow by their peers, and experiential consumers were considered charismatic. When I read that, I just thought that was funny because in my view, it depends on what side of the fence you're standing on. If you're a retailer, you don't care whether someone is experimental or whether they're materialistic. All you know is you've got the goods, and if they're sold, you go, yahoo, that's a good thing. And I thought to myself, why in the world would someone take the time to do this kind of a study? Go figure. Who knows? They probably got a grant. But I came across some other information that I thought was very significant, and it has to do with museums. And one of my absolute favorite museums is the Metropolitan in New York. If you've never been there, you really ought to go. It is an incredible experience. You can't go through all of it in one day. You just can't. And I just think the people of New York are so fortunate to have not just that museum, but many, many others. And one day I hope to be able to see some of the others that are in New York because they're just incredible. But there are people who, well, you're told not to touch, okay? Well, if a blind person goes into a museum, they can now that with plastic gloves or maybe even cloth gloves, it depends on the museum, they will give tours to blind people, and they're called touch tours. I thought this was so wonderful. And even people that have diminished vision, they allow them to do it too. And they will actually allow people to touch the statues and the various things. And I've got a photo in front of me of two people who are blind, and they've got gloves on because the oils of the human hand, of the skin, can actually cause a negative effect on many items if they're touched. So they have these beautiful, beautiful Egyptian statues and Greek statues and Roman statues. So they're supervised and they're allowed to touch the statues and other artifacts. And I just think it's absolutely fabulous. The Metropolitan allows people to do it, and London's Tate Modern Museum, and then Alabama's Birmingham Museum of Art has tactile release of some of the finest paintings there. So they can touch the replication of paintings. This, to me, is just absolutely amazing. And I recall many years ago, and I know there's been some other people that have done this, but I recall when I was a little girl watching a television program where the artist that was creating sculptures, the artist was blind, never had been able to see. They had their subject in front of them, and I cannot recall the artist's name, and they would, with their fingers, they would touch the person's face, and they would go around the nose and the hair and everything. Everything was touched on the face and on the neck. Then the artist would go, and this is a blind artist, and would work its mound of clay. And there was a man that did this, and I think also a woman artist that did this. Incredibly amazing. And they filmed the process, what this person did. The result was spectacular. It was an exact duplication. Many times when someone has lost their sight, their sensory system just becomes so refined in other ways. So for someone not to be able to see and to be able to go into a museum and to have this experience, it just is absolutely amazing. Now, the photographer that went along with some of these tours and filmed some of this, you could visit his site. It's 11rivington.com, and that's ELEVENRIVINGTON, to see some of the photography that he has put together. Just amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, gingerbread time. Gingerbread is one of the favorite cookies. I mean, gingerbread men, how many of us have eaten gingerbread men? We just go, this is so good. And usually, in a household, it's not baked during the year. The holiday season is a very important season. And when I came across Martha Stewart's gingerbread men recipe, I just thought, wow, she's got a twist with this that I have never, ever heard of. And I thought, I've got to share this with you because I think it is just awesome. Now, it's going to take an hour and 45 minutes. That's the amount of time that it's going to take to be involved with this. And you are going to have to chill the dough. So, you know, maybe it involves a little bit more time, but you can work other things in while you're letting the dough chill. This is what you're going to need in the way of ingredients. 3.5 cups of flour, all-purpose flour, 3.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda, 1.5 teaspoons of baking soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1 1/4 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1 1/4 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1 1/4 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1 1/4 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1 1/4 teaspoons of ground allspice. So all three of those ingredients, 1 1/4 teaspoons of each, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves. You're going to need 2 sticks of unsalted butter. That needs to be at room temperature. 3/4 cup of granulated sugar, 3/4 cup of dark brown sugar, and you need to pack that in the cup really tightly. 4 teaspoons of peeled and grated fresh ginger. It's going to make all the difference in the world with the taste. 4 teaspoons of peeled and grated fresh ginger. You're going to need 1 egg, and that needs to be at room temperature, 1/4 cup of unsulfured molasses. And we even have a royal icing recipe that's real simple to make. But anyway, those are your ingredients. Now, this is what you're going to need to do. And Martha Stewart said that her mom, this was her recipe, and she just absolutely loved it. She said it was just one of my favorite cookies. And I just think that this is marvelous. So your dry ingredients, your flour, your baking soda, salt, cinnamon, ground ginger, allspice, and cloves, you mix the dry ingredients together. In your electric mixer bowl, and you want to have like a paddle attachment to this, you want to beat your butter, your brown and white sugar, and the fresh ginger. You want to beat that on a low speed until it's well combined. And then you increase the speed to medium and just let the beater do its job. Just let it really whip that butter. And it's going to take about 2 to 3 minutes. And every once in a while, just take your spatula and scrape down the inside of the bowl. After that's been beaten for about 3 minutes, it's light and fluffy. You want to add your egg and molasses, and then you beat the butter mixture again. You then, after that is thoroughly mixed, you reduce your mixing speed to low and gradually add in your flour mixture until it's incorporated. Now, you're going to transfer your dough to a clean work surface. Your dough is going to be sticky. It's going to be very wet. You want to divide the dough in half, and you want to flatten each half into a disc and wrap in plastic. You might want to put a little bit of oil on your hands, just a little bit, not a whole bunch, so that that will mix. But otherwise, just have your wax paper or your saran wrap already laid out. Know you're going to put that on there, divide it in half, and refrigerate it at least 4 hours or overnight. So if you wanted to do it the day before you were going to do your baking, great thing to do. Now, your oven, when it comes time to bake, it needs to be preheated to 350 degrees. Two racks, one in the upper section and one in the lower section of the oven. You line your cookie sheets with parchment paper, put those to the side. Your dough, you take from your refrigerator and let it stand, because it's going to be very, very firm. Let it stand until it gets a little bit soft, and it'll keep the dough from cracking when you roll it out. On a large piece of parchment paper, you'll put a little bit of flour, and using a floured rolling pin, you roll your dough to about a quarter inch thickness. And to prevent your dough from sticking to the parchment paper while you're rolling it out, occasionally run a large metal offset spatula under the dough and sprinkle the work surface with more flour. And then you put your parchment paper with your rolled out dough on another cookie sheet, and then you freeze it. This is a different recipe. You freeze it until it's firm, and that's going to take about 15 minutes. Then you remove the dough from the freezer, and you have to work fast. You have your floured cookie cutters all ready. You cut out your desired shape. If the dough begins to soften and the cookies don't hold the shape, return it to the freezer for a few minutes. Then with a wide metal spatula, transfer the cutouts to your prepared baking sheets. Refrigerate them till firm. That's going to take about 15 minutes. Then you're going to bake your cookies until they're crisp but not dark, 12 to 15 minutes. And she suggests you rotate the sheets between the upper and lower racks halfway through the baking time. And keep your cookies on the parchment paper, transfer them to a wire rack so they can cool completely. And then, of course, you can decorate them after that. But the fragrance of this is just absolutely amazing. The smells are just incredible. Now, if you want royal icing, it's real simple to make. And you can color the icing, of course. 2 cups of confectionery sugar, 2 tablespoons of meringue powder. And you get that at your baking and craft stores. And then whatever food coloring you want to use. And with your electric mixer, use your whisk. You beat your confectionery sugar, your meringue powder, and 3 tablespoons of water until it's blended. You scrape the side of the bowl frequently, and you beat it until it forms soft peaks. It's going to take about 10 minutes, so the machine does most of the work for you. And it should be just stiff enough to hold its shape. If you need to add a little bit of water to it to thin it out, if it's gotten too thick, then you can do that, but just a few drops at a time. And then you just cover the container that you have the royal icing in with plastic wrap. And if you want to tint certain parts of it, then tint it. But what you can do then is use a plastic bag, snip the end of the plastic bag, stuff it with the royal icing, and you can use that to decorate your cookies with. And then just throw the plastic bag away when you're finished. Real easy. But this is gingerbread unlike any other gingerbread recipe I've ever had. And I'll tell you, they won't last very long. And something with gingerbread, it's the longer it sets, in other words, if you bake these up in advance, put them in a tin someplace where they are kept until the holiday, Christmas maybe, or a special event when you're going to a friend's house, by golly, they get wonderfully more flavorful. The flavors, the wonderful seasonings that you have put in there, the ginger, allspice, and clove, cinnamon, they just marry in a wonderful way. So it's a recipe that's a keeper. It is a little bit labor-intensive, but it's well worth it. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We have a caller on the line, and if you want to chat with me, you also can call in at 888-627-6008. And before I go to the caller, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Matthew Fox. We're going to be talking about Hildegard of Bingen. This woman, Renaissance woman. Boy, I was fascinated with a woman that a thousand years ago, now is being recognized for her accomplishments. Oh my goodness. Gee. Hope it doesn't take that long for other people to get their recognition when they need it. Let's go to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. First name or initial, and where are you calling? I already know your name. Excuse me. Where are you calling from?
The Bay Area.
All right. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. First thing that I'm looking at is a look of being perplexed on your face. I'm seeing you wondering why things seem to be going backwards instead of forwards. Well, I really don't know that they're going backwards. I don't think so. What I believe is that you are paying more attention to what's going on around you, and you are becoming more aware that you want to create change. And I almost wanted to use the word manufacture change, because an image of an assembly line processing setup came into my head. And I think that this is a very good time for you to really look at what your priorities are and to assess what you need to do to move things along. And I do think that the awareness that you have about the situation and conditions that are going on around you are significant. And I do feel that you have made some tremendous strides this year, and of course the new year is just around the corner. I would like for you to be aware of a couple of things, though. You really need to deal with someone who's a good mentor. You need someone who's going to be able, when you ask particular questions related to a specific industry that is important to you, you need to think about their feedback. They may not have the right suggestions for you, but you need to think about it. And you need to ask yourself, what do I need to adapt? What do I need to shift to? How can I be more mobile and flexible in my thinking, my approaches, my interactions with others? There is a breakthrough year in 2013, especially after July the 7th. So you have 6 months here where there's a lot of work that I think needs to be done by you relative to your own interests and what it is that you're wanting to accomplish. This holiday season, I think, is going to be a very meaningful one for you. I think you're going to deliberately change and put yourself into environments, maybe attend shows or be involved with activities you've never done before. I think of a friend of mine who decided to volunteer at a home a mission rescue environment, and she decided she was going to dedicate her Christmas to that 1 year. And she said it was an experience that was very meaningful to her on so many, many levels. And I think you're going, I don't know that you're going to do that, but I think you're going to do some things that you have not done before, and you deliberately are planning them out. So I really, really think you've got a very special holiday season coming up here with some, I think, some very fine surprises and some new friendships that are going to evolve out of it as well. Do you have a question for me, Rebecca?
Yeah, I just was wondering about my health. Have you seen anything there?
I'm not looking at any major problems. Is there something that is disturbing you at this time that concerns you?
Kind of some high blood pressure stuff.
Well, I think that if it's high blood pressure, I'm not really seeing that that is something that you need to be concerned with. I think what you are beginning to be aware of is that stress is causing problems with you physically. And if you're experiencing high blood pressure, you need to ask yourself, what's stimulating this? What is it that my body's trying to tell me? I am not looking at a major, major illness here. Your heart, in my mind's view, looks like it's pretty healthy. I think that you have been seriously considering adjusting some of your habit patternings with food, but you've been doing really well. I'm not seeing you sitting down and eating 14 bagels for breakfast, slathered with, 5,000 pounds of jelly. I'm not seeing that. I am looking at you sometimes skipping meals when you shouldn't and then grabbing something that really doesn't sit well in your stomach. So I'd like for you to just be more consciously present with yourself. But you shouldn't have serious major health issues. I mean, you've got a pretty good physical vehicle.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Rebecca. Thanks for your call. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 530-3277. Wait a minute. What am I giving you? I'm giving you the wrong station number. 888-627-6008. That's the toll-free number. The other one is the toll number. You don't want that. As I mentioned, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Matthew Fox. And then on Thursday, we're going to be having a lady join us via the wonders of technology, Neon Nell. And this is a woman who is a phenomenal, phenomenal vocal artist. And she's also written a book called Knowing Who I Am. And we're going to be sharing the journey that she has experienced, learning about the music business. I mean, when you have sold more than one platinum level of records, it's just absolutely incredible. And then we're also on this Friday, which is December 7th, we're going to be talking with Dr. Katie Evans. And this show is going to be dedicated to our military because December 7th, as we all know, is Pearl Harbor Day. And it was an incredible day for the United States of America because it officially caused us to enter into the Second World War. The bombing by the Japanese created a lot of trauma, and that's what we're going to be discussing. The unfortunate heroes are American military personnel, men and women, and they are going to be the topic of our discussion this Friday. So be sure to tell your friends. We'd love to have you join us. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It is very important for us to realize we have a right of choice. We should be grateful for the abundance that is in our lives, grateful for the factor that we have the chance to learn, to experience, to grow, to be the best we possibly can be. All of this and more is yours. All you have to do is say, I accept it. Don't be afraid of the challenges of multiple choices. They are there for the purpose of expanding your world. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place. Thanks so much for joining us. Joining me, it's been a delight having you with us. Bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.